All right, we have been teaching on manifesting as sons of God. We taught on this area called vengeance and recompense. And when I taught on it, I knew I wasn't done with it. But the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me to go back. And we've been teaching on it for now. This is the 11th lesson. So this is volume 2. This is the 11th lesson. I'll start reading here at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Until now. Now, I'd like you to follow along with me today. I want to go a little bit further into this subject. Now, what I just read, you may or may not understand it, depending on what level you are in terms of Bible knowledge. But I'll give you, you'll completely understand what I'm about to say here, and it's relative to what I just read. In this Romans 8 that I just read, he is talking a lot here about identity. And that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. All right, let's just stop right there. Now, this joint heirs with Christ. Basically, if I'm joint heir with somebody, whatever they get, I get too, because I'm a joint heir with them. So this a whole idea of identity is a very serious teaching or revelation. Now, I have taught on this before. As a matter of fact, the title of the teaching is Understanding Our Royalty, or something like that. Understanding Our Divinity and Revelation of Royalty. Okay. Kind of go together. Now let's go over to John's Gospel, John chapter 10. Because a lot of the Gospels is actually bringing us up to the fact of knowing who we are. Now look what he says in John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. This is Jesus talking. How do I know it's Jesus? It's in the red. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered and said, wait a minute. Many good works, in other words, miracles, have I shown you of my Father. Well, which of these works do you stone me? And Jews answered and said to him, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, maketh thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. All right. Jesus here was quoting from the Old Testament. He was what we call Old Testament, from the Torah. And he was actually quoting from Psalms. and Psalms 82 that says, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now, that was a prophetic psalm. Now, they wanted to stone him because he said, I and the Father are one. Now they see him putting himself on the same level as the Father, in the God class. Well, now they want to stone him for that. Now, wait a minute. He said himself in here, verse 32, many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? They said, for good work we stone you not. In other words, for you working the miracle, that's not why we're stoning you. We're stoning you because you're blaspheming. You're a man calling yourself a God. And we'll stone you for that. Now understand, if who was behind them putting Jesus up on the cross? Who was lurking behind the scenes making that happen? The devil. Who do you think was lurking behind the scenes trying to get them to stone Jesus? The devil. Why? Because he knows how critical your identity is to your deliverance and your possession of your inheritance. He knows it. One of the main things identity is designed to do is open doors. You know it in the natural. In the natural, you need a certain ID number, code, whatever, which will identify you so that you can get your money. In the military, they have IDs. As a matter of fact, in some of the top secret places, you put your eye on this little thing, it shines in your eye, and it shines a light across the strip in your retina, and it opens a door. Another place, you take your hand, put it on the door, it does a swipe of your hand, your fingerprints. Nobody has your retina, nobody has your fingerprints in the whole world. It's all about identity. Don't you ever forget that. Most of the reason why God's people have not gotten their inheritance is because they don't know who they are. Now, you can sit up here and praise and do all kinds of things, but do you have your inheritance? Are you still as broke this week as you are last week, as you were last year, as you were before? Something's wrong. Are we still as sick? Are we still going through stuff with our families, our husbands, wives? We still fussing because somebody don't know who they are. Royalty doesn't fuss with anybody. Try to get a king to fuss with you. The only reason why a king ever fusses, he's not a king anymore. He's a slave. Got it? Now I'm telling you, there is behavior of royalty. When you know you're in control, when you know that you have the final say of what's going on, you don't fuss with nobody. A king would just say this. Now, if you say that again, I'm going to cut your head off. He don't fuss with you.
That's right.
Why would you get a king? Why would you argue with a person and you know that you have all the power? Now, I'm telling you, the church has all the power.
Right, right.
Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. Go ye.
Yes, yes.
Therefore. Meaning, therefore means that's what it's there for. It means you go in the power that I have, and I have all power. You are royalty. So a lot of God's people don't know who they are. And that's why that's in there. It's a revelation. Join heirs. And that's why Paul prayed that the church of Jesus Christ would know They said that they cease not to make giving thanks, making mention of you, giving thanks for you in his prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the greatness of his power to us who believe, according to his working of his mighty power, when he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and gave him to be head of all things to the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, go over there. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, it's important that you know this. It's important that you get this into your system, because this has a lot to do with where you go. Remember what they said. They said, we can't go into Canaan and the giants because we in our own sight are as grasshoppers. Notice, a grasshopper can't defeat a giant. And the enemy has worked to keep you with a spirit or an image of inferiority so that he could keep your property. It doesn't, nothing Satan has belongs to it. It has all been legally given to you. And the only reason he's holding it because the saints don't know. But we're going to know today. We're coming out. Say, I'm coming out. All right. Let's look at Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter, I want to go over a few of these, let you see it. Chapter 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. So you've been set, Jesus Christ was set above every name. Come on down. And come on down to verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Now, wait a minute. You a joint heir. Whatever he got, you've got. Raise him up. What did he do with you? Raise you up. Now, you might be walking here, but you're seated there. And I like what the little boy said in that church that time. His mother used to take him to church, and she was in church this Sunday, and he was standing up on the seat. She said, on the church bench, she said, sit down, Johnny. And he sat down, and she was trying to listen at the sermon. He jumped up again. She said, I told you to sit down. He sat down again, and then she tried to listen to the sermon, and then he stood up again on the seat. She spanked him on the leg. Pew! She said, no, I told you to sit down. So he sat down, his mouth all stuck out, he's pouting and everything. He said, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's what you need to do. You need to be seated there. You need to see yourself seated there with him in heavenly places. Praise God. Are you with me? Now, I'm doing this, I'm just going through here, because this identity piece has got to be solved, because what I'm going to tell you to move into takes a mature believer. This is not for babies. This is not for folks who are crying about every little thing. And so this is not for those people. Those are immature Christians. They cannot go in there and get the promised land. So we're going to take you in there. But you got to understand, first of all, who you are. Say amen to that. Let's go to the next place. Let's go to Colossians. That's about two doors over after the book of Philippians. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And let me know when you get to Colossians chapter 1. Praise God in heaven. Look what it said in verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Talking about Jesus. The body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. My goodness. Now, notice what he said, that he is the head of the body. Now, I really believe that's why, symbolically, John the Baptist lost his head, because a new head was coming, which was Christ. And in this, he is saying that, and he is the head of the body. The body is you. The body of Christ is the church. Watch this. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. The firstborn. Jesus paid the price for you and I on the cross, and he died. He went to hell and paid the price for you and I in hell. 3 days, God raised him up. He was the first man born from death to life. Adam was the first man born from life to death. Got it? Jesus had to go back into death to get life out again. Got it? So now, here is Jesus. He is the firstborn. Go in the Gospels and look. He never is called the firstborn in the Gospels. He was called the only begotten Son. But once you get into the revelation of the epistles, now he's called the firstborn. He's the firstborn here, it says, of many, what does it say? From the dead. Another place it says, firstborn of many brethren. Another place it says, firstborn of the church. Why? Because after he was born, you got born. Now, I don't know what number born you are, but you were born. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, the attributes he has in him, you have in you, because the Bible says that we were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. So the seed of the Word of God was planted to give you birth. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. And you have the same DNA in you as that seed had in it, because you came from that seed. Say amen to that. Now, if that be the case, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Luke 8, verse 11, it says, and the seed is the Word of God. So if the seed is the Word, and the Word is God, and you were born from the seed, and the seed is the Word of God, then whatever the seed is, you are. And if the seed is God, and you are born of the seed, then you have to have the same thing God has in him, you have in you. Say amen to that. So what am I saying? Is when God produced Adam, he reproduced himself. He did not call Adam in like a tree or like an animal. He reproduced himself. Adam came out of him. But over in Ephesians and chapter 2, glory to God. And verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in him. We are recreated beings. We came from the Father through the Son. And I'm saying to you now, whatever Jesus has in him, you have in you. Say amen to that. Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also. So what is he doing? He's busy trying to show people who they are in him. Peter saw him walking on the water. He said, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. He said, well, come on. And Peter got out there and started walking on water. Now, I know people like to focus in on, well, he got out there and he began to sink. Well, he didn't sink for a while. He was walking for a while. Why don't you run just a little water in your bathroom and see, can you get in there and walk for a second with your smart self? Let's go to John and John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, this is very important, what I'm giving you here. This word preeminent in the Greek, I looked it up in the concordance. It's the word proteo. P-R-O-T-E-U-O, proteo. And it means first in rank. Jesus is preeminent. He is first in rank over the believers. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, in Ephesians 2:6, remember, we are seated there with him. Now, look what it says in John chapter 5 and verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have what? Life in himself. And has given him authority to do what? Execute judgment also, because he is the Son of who? Man, not the Son of God. Not the Son of God. Now watch what I'm saying. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was fully God and fully man. But he knew that the only thing Satan wanted is for him to flip over and walk as God. Satan would have him. God cannot do that. He cannot enter into this earth and operate without your authority. Why? Because in the beginning, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Not us, them. That's why Satan is so mad, because God is taking dirt and whipping him with it. He's angry, mad about it. Now, inside that dirt is a real person, but my point to you is this. He could execute judgment because he's a son of man, not the son of God. Satan confronted him one time, one of the Gospels. He said, you can't cast me out. I know who you are. You are God. Jesus said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. He had to come out. Why? Because he had the authority of a man. Now stay with me now. Notice what happened. John the Baptist saw him coming. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. And Jesus came, and Jesus said something about baptizing. He said, wait a minute, I should be baptizing you. He said, no, let the scriptures be fulfilled. So what did he do? He baptized Jesus. Brought him up out of the water. The heavens opened. The voice spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit of God, like a dove, came and lit upon him. Okay? Upon Jesus. What was it doing? Anointing him. Anointing him. Anointing him to do what? Carry out his ministry. Now, wait a minute. Up until that point, you don't see a single miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was a man. But he had to get anointed for miracles. Now, wait a minute. If he were functioning as God, why would he have to be anointed? Where are you going to go to get any higher anointing than God? He was functioning as a man, anointed by God. Got it? He is showing you your identity. All you got to do is get born again and then get filled with the Spirit, and you got the same ability. He said, the things that I do, you can do them too. Does that make sense to you? Now, this is important to you, see, because you look at things and say, well, that was Jesus walking on water, stopping storms, making the blind to see, lame to walk, making maimed to be made whole. So, oh, that was Jesus. It made Peter pull in a boat, sink a net, break a load, turn 2 fish and 5 loaves and fed 20,000 people. Oh, that was Jesus. No. The things that I did, he said, shall you do too. And watch this. And greater works shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. Make sense to you? Now, I want you to catch this. Now, watch this. The identity is what the enemy is after, because the identity opens doors. It gets you breakthroughs in your thinking, all kinds of things. Identity does that. Just change your identity and watch it change your life. You know, royalty is, you know, a poor king. You don't see a poor king. Amen. Can I just say that? It's a disgrace for a king to have a kingdom that's broke. No. The only thing I'm saying, even when you get a little money, notice how you walk different. You get a little money. Okay. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'm talking about. You don't see a royal person hollering out the car window, "Hey, girl, where's my money?" You don't. Do you see that? You don't see that. Folks, the only reason why people can run around in gangs and shoot other people is because they don't know who they are. They have no idea how precious life is. See, if they knew how precious they were, they would know how precious the next person is. Can't do it. It's an identity problem. Sure. This, everything, I mean, you name it. It's all going back to that. See, we're trying to do things to get somewhere. And I mean, just whatever we can do to ourselves to try to look like this person over here, try to act like this person over here. We're searching. You got what I'm saying? Well, we need to come back to the Word of God. And then you won't have to put another tattoo on. You can go right here and see that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to put that on. Hello. Now, I ain't coming down on nobody. I'm just saying, you don't have to go any further with that. You can just stop where you are. Amen. Y'all with me? Now, if I'm preaching too hard, let me know if I'm preaching too hard. But the truth will make you free. Say amen to that. Look at verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is not no tattoo now. This is Jesus here. Okay, you follow what I'm saying? I just want you to get your mind right, because the devil will try to tell you something. Okay, but this is something that is a revelation that's written, King of Kings. He's the King of who? Kings. He's the Lord of who? Lords. So if he's a king, who are the kings? We are, okay? If he's the Lord, who are the lords? We are, okay? Just trying to make you get that. All right. So, here's my point in doing all of that. Adam fell. Let's go back over there. Let's go to Genesis because I got a little more time on this one. Genesis chapter 1, please. 3. Genesis chapter 3. It's all right. Amen. God will work with you and start you right where you are. Amen. So you don't need to look back, be ashamed, so forth, all that stuff. That's just the devil's work. Say amen to that. But you came here to get some help, and I'm going to help you. And I can't help you if I don't tell you the truth. I'm talking about the whole truth. I don't want to sugarcoat it, be no punk preacher. I'm going to give you the stuff just like you should have it so that you can get strong. Say amen to that. What that song they just sung, Not Taken Down, what would it say? Yeah. Okay. All right, hush, let's get back to this here. Okay, look what it says here. This is when they had sinned, Adam and Eve had sinned. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid. So that's when fear came in. Because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, he was naked before, but he didn't know it. Because he wasn't self-conscious. Come on, self-conscious. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should not eat of it? Not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. Now notice what happens here. What happens here is Adam is about to leave Eve out there to go for herself. Now I'm just gonna tell you what's in the book about. He is concerned about one person, and that is who? Adam. Got it? So the biggest thing that happened with the fall of Adam, the immediate effects were effects called selfishness. That's the immediate effects of the fall. Now, what is he doing? He's battling for self-defense. Say amen to this. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. So I'm just saying, people from then on trying to, it's self. It's all about self. I'm not caring about nobody else. It's about me. I'm taking care of me. I don't care about you. I'm going to take care of me. Now, this is something Christ redeemed us from. So now we got to check this out. Let's look at it now. Let's go over in the New Testament and let's go over to Philippians and Philippians chapter 4. All the way over to the book of Philippians. Now, if you don't know where these are, just look on the screen and they're going to put the scriptures on the screen. Philippians chapter 4. Because selfishness was one of the immediate effects of the fall of Adam. He became self-conscious. Now let's look at this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he's saying, don't worry about a thing. Not a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Now, the reason why we're worried about it, because we're wondering what's going to happen. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to look right? And so forth and so on. He said, wait a minute. I don't want you to care about anything. As a matter of fact, let me tell you what I want you to do with your care. Turn over to 1 Peter, please, all the way over by the book of Revelation. This is what I want you to do with your care, because I'm not selfish, saith the Lord, and I care about you. See, I care about other folk. Look what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you haven't said, praise the Lord. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you, come on, in due time, casting how much of your care? All your care where? Over on him. Keep going. For now he gonna care for you. Now, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch after you. I'm going to protect you. Got it? So this selfishness business can go away. Now, we have a story of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10. What is the Good Samaritan story of? Caring for somebody else. So notice what happened. Here's a man. He was going from Jericho down to Jerusalem, down to Jericho or whatever. And what happened? Fell among thieves. They beat him up, stripped him, robbed him, left him for half dead. What happened? Here comes a Levite. These are people who know the scriptures. They come by, looked at him, and passed by on the other side. Here comes a priest. Comes by, looks at him, passed by on the other side. But here comes a Samaritan. Samaritan went to the other side where he was. Then he poured in oil and wine. That's a whole story in that. And then what happened? He took the man, bandaged him up, put him on his own donkey, not the man's donkey, the Samaritan's donkey, then brought him to an inn. Then once he brought him there, he then told the innkeeper, care for him. Here's the money to take care of him. And if he runs up any bill before I get back, I'll take care of that too. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you didn't come see me because you caring about yourself. When I was hungry, you gave me no food because you caring about what you gonna eat. When I was naked, you gave me no clothes. Even though you had a clothes closet full of stuff, you gave me nothing because it's all about me. It's all about self. It's all about how am I gonna look? I wanna look different. I wanna look glamorous. I want them to look at me because it's all about me. It's not about them. It's not about God's work. It's not about the poor. It's not about the helpless. It's not about the sick, the hungry, the shut in. It's not about the older people who don't have anybody to care. It's not about any of them. It's all about me. It's me. That's who it's about. When you come in church, all of a sudden we have something called helps ministries to help you get you off your mind and start making it all about the needy, all about the poor, all about the helpless. That's what this is all about. There's a hole in your gospel. You need to reevaluate it. And that's why some of this isn't working for certain people. Because it's not designed to work for selfish folk. Faith worketh by love. It's working for me. It happened from the fall. But Jesus came, and he came to get you back off of yourself. So here all the people out there that have been within 3 days. The disciples said, send them away. They have nothing to eat. Let them go get something to eat. Jesus said, whoa, now. If they eat like that, some of them go faint. They're going to fall out during the week because they're starving. You feed them. I guess the biggest miracles in the Bible where Jesus said, great faith, were always situations where they were working their faith for somebody else. Yeah. Not to get them a house, but to get somebody else a house. Each time, both times, Jesus said, no greater faith have I seen than this. See, it's all about somebody else. And sometimes, especially in certain things and word of faith, so it's all about me. I'm gonna work my faith. I'll give me this, I'll give me that. That's fine. But what are you giving? What are you giving? My wife and I giving away cars, giving away clothes. We didn't even have anything when we first came here. We didn't have even a change of clothes. One of the lawyers who was a part of the ministry, gave my wife clothes. Ain't everything. I remember when Steve Singletary got me, said, Bill, come on downtown. I want to come with me at lunch. I went to lunch with him. He said, your son needs some tennis shoes? I said, man, yeah. I didn't have any money. I didn't have no money to buy him any tennis shoes. He said, come on, let me buy you some shoes. He didn't know it, but I almost cried. Of somebody, here I am trying to preach the gospel, and somebody thought about me and my family. Somebody thought about it. That's why we're on television, because it's trying to get the word out to them. I'm not on TV trying to be popular, folks. My promotion comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. All right. Now, I hope you got the message on that, because that's powerful. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All kind of nursing homes need folks to come by and pray for them. Sure. All kind of shelters need some volunteers. All kinds of things. No, but it's all about me. I'm just kind of helping you to identify now. All right. Look what it says here. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to who? Me. And I will do what? Recompense, saith the Lord. Again and again, the Lord shall judge his people. All right. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
All right, this topic that we're teaching on, the reason why I went the direction that I went today is because, again, vengeance, the way mankind sees it, is an action that comes from self-defense. And I'm going to give you a perspective of how vengeance works in the kingdom. He says here, vengeance belongeth to me. This is the Lord talking. And I will recompense, saith the Lord. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Vengeance, according to God's definition, has nothing to do with hatred, resentment, or emotional retaliation. But it proceeds from a love of justice. It's the necessity of punishing offenders. Stay with me. Recompense means to compensate, again, to repay, to return of equivalent anything that's done or suffered. It means to make amends. Now, you know, I used to wonder, my dad, when I was a kid, we used to come from church and eat. Then he'd tell me and my brother, said, come on, I want you all to go over to the nursing home with me. And we, you know, we'd be, what? Nursing home? And he'd go, because he played the violin and played the piano and so forth, and he'd go, and he'd, for some reason, he'd feel like they couldn't get out to go to church, so he was going to bring that over to them. Now, he wasn't a preacher or anything like that, but he felt that to be a blessing to them on that day was the right thing to do. And I thank him, amen, him trying to get my brother and I to see that. I think at that age, I never did see it. I'm just going to be transparent. Now, I never did see it. I always felt I could see the ball out there, that football, I see them throwing that, but I just couldn't see it. But as I got older, I began to understand this thing is about giving. It's about serving. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, okay, all right, let's get back on this thing. So what am I saying? The theme of justice is woven throughout the fabric of the Bible. Stay with me. And this word vengeance, like I said, has nothing to do with hatred or resentment or some kind of retaliation. But it proceeds from a love of justice, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. Now, stay with me. Justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. That Jesus is coming soon. Woo-wee. Boy, that sounded good when I put that out there. Jesus is coming soon. And everything... Now, I got 1 minute, but can y'all give me about 5 minutes here? Okay, give me about 5 minutes, because I got something I got to tell you now. You want me to tell you, just good news. Flow, woman flow, okay, I just flow. How long y'all got? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. All right, let's just, y'all stay with me now. And what happened was, where was I? Praise God. Jesus is coming soon. That's what I said. Amen. Maybe I was supposed to say that again. Jesus is coming soon. Now, notice what he said, that Jesus is going to be seated, found in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus is going to be seated until we make his enemies our what? Footstool. Okay? So he's not going to come back for church 9 months. Rent in arrears, you know, and pay rent, beam me up spot. He's not going to come back for that. He's going to come back for people who are triumphant. Yes. Say amen to that. He's coming back for us. All right. Now, in this, he is looking for us to establish his kingdom in the earth and manifest it before he comes. In other words, we're to take dominion over the forces of darkness and manifest the light in every place we are placed. Got it? So everything that's out from under this culture of heaven is to be brought under kingdom authority. Y'all follow what I said? That the kingdom of we're to, Lord Jesus, y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't need to explain this. Everything that's wrong, we're supposed to straighten it out. I mean, the reason why the church is here is because we're supposed to come into a place where it's dark and bring light to it. Got it? I don't care where it is, in the media, in arts and entertainment, in education, everything. We are supposed to be at the mountaintop. We are supposed to be the ones that are dictating new policy. We will not have these children to be taught in these kinds of books that's got nothing to do, you know, with Adam and Eve, but Adam and C. I mean, these books will not be sold to our, are you following what I'm saying? Now, we have the authority and the power to make this happen. Now, understand, don't blame the people, because the Bible says the whole world is walking in darkness. They don't know what they're doing. So you can't be too hard on them. What you got to do is usher in the light. You've got to show them something that will set up a platform so they'll see the evidence of your God and want to go that way. Say amen to that. And I'm not just talking about talking it off. You got to demonstrate it. They've got to see something about your lifestyle, something about the evidence of the word you spoke that's working a miracle in this person's life. Say amen to this. Now, this is manifesting the sons of God. So in this, he is saying here that vengeance is mine and I will recompense. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that vengeance or justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. That understanding vengeance. Brother, you look sharp today. It's sharp. I seen that brother look. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I had to point you out. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, let's get back to this. Okay, that's all right. Amen. You're supposed to look sharp. You're royalty today. Amen. That's all right. You can come any way you want to now. I'm just noting. Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Matter of fact, come on up here. I got something for you. Come on up here. Praise God. Come on back. See, he put something here. It's probably a harvest coming in for him. Praise God. I got to do this. You know what I mean? You can't point a brother out like that and don't give him something. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to peel one of these hundreds off and give you one of these hundreds. Job today. Okay, pray. Amen. Okay, let's get back to this here. Okay. Now I need 5 more minutes. Praise the Lord. Okay. So now what am I saying? You don't have to take care of yourself. God's going to take care of you. Vengeance is his. Now, let me tell you how this is going to happen. As soon as Jesus left, the Holy Ghost came. And the ministry of Christ has now been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Ghost. The ministry of Christ. The moment Jesus left, he said, "Don't you tarry here, don't leave here until you be endued with power." That's the Holy Ghost. He came, now he started his part. Got it? The person of the Holy Ghost. And the number one job of the Holy Ghost is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God and God's people, and nothing shall escape him. Why? Because you have a destiny to fulfill. And this is a set time. It's a divinely programmed hour that you have come into this earth and you will finish the assignment that God has placed in your life. Say amen to that. So whatever is afflicting you, humiliating you, whatever's against your peace and your progress, whatever's against your business, your career, others against your children or family, God is going to command vengeance upon them starting now. Say amen to that. So I'm saying we're in the days of the vengeance of our Lord. It's not something bad. It's just justice. It's for people who God is using to take something or make something happen in this hour, and the enemy has been resisting you. But from now on, anything that is resisting you, nothing will go unpunished. That God is going to say amen to this. Now, the anointing under which you are operating has a ministry to execute this vengeance upon all your adversaries. Now, the only thing I'm saying to you now is that that anointing is on your life. And that anointing is going to bring comfort to you. It's going to bring joy to you. In other words, all your struggles are ending right now, that you will have sweatless victories. Now, understand, this doesn't work unless you believe this. Say amen to that. So now what I'm saying is this, is that that anointing was on Jesus. The anointing, not of vengeance, but the anointing that he read, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, for he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance of the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, at Luke chapter 4, verse 18, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and sat down. All right. Turn to Isaiah 61. This is the last place we'll go. Praise God. Isaiah 61. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let me know when you get there. Amen. He going to dress up every Sunday now. Watch, he was a dress up every Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Amen. That just caught my eye. It must have caught the Holy Ghost eye too. Praise the Lord. All right, look what it said in verse 2. Are y'all with me? Well, stop laughing and look down. Look down on the sheet here. All right, look at verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, Jesus closed the Bible right there, and he closed it and sat down. But that's not all to that scripture. And the days of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old ways. They shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. See, that's what part of what you're going to be doing. You're going to be building. And notice he's going to come against anything that's going to try to block your building. All you have to do is look at books like Ezra and so forth like that. You look at places where they were starting to build and the enemy came against them. And Nehemiah, for example. But look how God dealt with this thing. All right, look what it said in verse 5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Verse 6. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Verse 7. For your shame you shall have double. Lord, have mercy. Double honor, double blessing. Look at verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Put in your Bible justice. And I hate robbery and burnt offering. For I will direct their ways in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed that the Lord has what? Blessed. All right. Now, what I used one time is this, and I'll just use this, because I would just want to make a point here. In Luke chapter 9, in about verse 54, This is when Jesus went into a village and nobody came out. The reason why they didn't come out, the Bible says that he has set his face toward Jerusalem. This is where he was going for Jerusalem. What did they say in the Old Testament? No prophet's supposed to die outside of Jerusalem. But anyway, he had set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now watch this. Nobody came out. So the disciples said, one of the disciples, I think it was Peter, he said, why don't you call fire down on them? Okay. He said, well, you don't know what spirit you are. All right. Then after Jesus left, in the book of Acts, now the vengeance is kicking in. The vengeance of the Lord. Now let's go over to Acts 13, please. Again, Acts 13. Now, whatever's blocking your way is not going to block your way anymore. And the enemy has been using all kinds of things and forces to try to keep you from fulfilling what God has placed inside of you. Say amen to that. Look at Acts chapter 13, and I'll start at verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, talking about Paul and his company, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now, the word deputy there means governor, just like you'd have a governor, all right? A person of high authority. When Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the who? Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the who? Devil. Thou enemy of all what? Righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Now who's talking? Paul. Who's giving him the utterance? Holy Spirit. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun, come on, for a season. Now, wait a minute. You got to understand, Jesus would never have, he would have just ignored Elymas, because this wasn't Jesus' ministry. But what I told you, that as Jesus left, the ministry of Christ has now been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Ghost. So now the Holy Ghost is now on Paul, and that anointing is on him. Watch this. And he's saying some things here that you didn't see in the gospel. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Wow, he said. Now, it's kind of interesting. Because this is the last point I want to make because of time. This end time anointing is coming on you now. Now, this is not done by you, because vengeance is not yours. But vengeance belongs to the Lord. The Holy Spirit, number one job in this hour is to execute upon all the enemies of God and God's people, vengeance, and nothing shall escape him. Now, this sorcerer was affecting the effectiveness of the ministry of Christ through, can y'all just listen to this last part? Through an And what happened was this anointing came on Paul. Now, in the last days, this anointing is going to come on you. Now, it's not coming on you so you can blind somebody. Got it? Because that's all some folk want. Hey, man, I like to blind that rascal. But it's to do the work of God. It's anointing that will supply intellectual ability, academic ability, and practical ability so that some things can be done so that you can build the work that God wants you to build and Jesus can come on back. Now, when this anointing comes on you, I want you to be aware that you're going to probably say things that you don't even believe yourself or things that you would never thought you would be uttering. Meaning that you didn't read it anywhere, but it's a revelation of God that you'll start uttering that you never studied the Bible to get. When that anointing comes on you, you're going to believe things that you can't even say. you're going to give what you never thought you could give, and because that anointing for giving and grace for giving is going to be on you. In other words, you're going to be able to do something you never were taught how to do it, but you're going to be doing it. Meaning that now you're going to be playing stuff, singing things, working at things, shouting about stuff, dancing. I'm saying, look at David. He danced. He took all his clothes off and started dancing. Now, I believe that was that anointing, because that anointing gives you, you don't, see, after you, if I come up here today and I preach and I say some things, and I've done this before, Lord have mercy, then I go home that night and I say, oh Lord, why did I say that? What am I suffering from? I'm suffering from post-prophetic syndrome. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm suffering because I said something under the anointing. Come on, that in my natural, I wouldn't have said that. But when I said it, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And some things gonna have to be said in these last days that you can't explain. When the prophet Hosea got filled with the Holy Ghost said, cut the back out of your pants and wear it with your buttocks out naked. Just walk around town. Now that had to be the Holy Ghost to make a man walk around town. Come on now. The Holy Ghost. I'm talking about David danced before the Lord. You ain't gonna do that with me. But his clothes came off. But what am I saying? Look at the boldness that comes up in people's lives when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm saying there are things that have been standing in your way, and a prophetic word is what you need. You need to speak a prophetic word, because when you speak a prophetic word, you are not responsible to bring it to pass. When you speak that word, God moves in there and brings it to pass. That's all I got. Get a lot of praise. This anointing is coming on you right now. I said right now. Things that have been resisting you will not resist you anymore. God is about to torment your tormentors. God, come on now. This is coming now. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? Are you ready for that anointing? Yeah. Then receive. Praise God. Woo-hoo-hoo.
You receive. All internet, receive. Sit down. That's it. It's done. It's done. I said 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 it's done. Take a seat. You go. Sickness is going to let you go. Come on. Them headaches, they got to go. Come on, help. The backache is got to go. Anything that's making you uncomfortable has got to go. How? Woo! Sit down. Let me try to finish this. Now, we're not trying to act normal. We are joint heirs. It's set time for favor. Favor is something you didn't deserve. Divine assistance. Favor ain't fair. Amen. This is it, saints. Because vengeance hadn't been preached, we've been victims. But now we're going to preach it. And I'm not going to ask my flesh what it thinks about it. Yeah, you say things and then you get home. Why did I say it? Because you was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elijah came there. God filled him. The Holy Ghost anointing came on him. Next thing he know, he got them prophets of Baal. He said, now let me say something to you. You've been eating at Jezebel's table. And I call on your God to bring fire down and light this sacrifice, this altar. They called on God from morning to night, whipping themselves, everything, trying to get to God to move. Elijah started messing with him. He said he must be on vacation. But what happened next? He said, step aside. He said, now put some water on it. Put some more water on it, because I don't want you to think it's happened. Some little spark got there and caught it afire. Put some more water on it. I want this miracle there to be no doubt. Because you know how God work a miracle to some people. Oh, that would have happened anyway. You know how people do that. But that's not going to happen anymore. We go into a place now, they're not going to say that at all. They don't say that at all. What happened now? He called fire. God released the fire. Burn up the altar, licked up the everything. Then he got them, took them down by the creek, and slayed them. Took them all out. Then what did he do? Somebody said, Jezebel, she don't like that. She wants you, she gonna kill you. He said, what? And he ran. That's post-prophetic syndrome. See, once that anointing lifts, all that boldness goes away. Y'all got what I'm saying? But y'all gonna be all right. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. In your life, you know that you're not right with God. God is speaking to you now about being born again. And we don't want to take a lot of time with this because you know who you are.
I'm saying it's time for you now to get a good relationship with him. He's calling you now. The reason why you're here is because God brought you here. This just didn't happen by coincidence. I'm asking you never to walk when I'm calling for souls, unless there's an emergency and you've got to get out of here. But sit down and wait till I finish calling for him. And so here, you know in your life, you're not right with God, and God has spoken to you now, and you want to get right with him. I'm here to tell you, make that right decision. That happened to me years ago. I made that decision, and look at what God has done in my life. I was struggling with everything, struggling with some things in my body that wouldn't get right. I was struggling with my finance. I was so broke, I couldn't pay attention, struggling, trying to make things happen at my job at IBM. Look what happened. Once I got born again, the body got healed, the debt cleared up, and got to be number one in sales. I'm here to tell you what God did for me, he'll do for you. If you're ready for it, I want to pray for you right now. I'm not asking you to join the church today. You can do that today if you want to, but if you want to go somewhere else, we'll send you there. I'm asking you, let me be used to bring you in the family since God has sent you this far. I want to be used right now. Whoever that is I'm talking to, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair.